أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, as you might remember, in our previous session, I dealt with Islam's theory of metaethics. I explained the theory, saying that Islam does not totally reject the existing theories in moral philosophy, nor does it totally accept these theories and agree with them. This session will be devoted to explaining Islamic theory of metaethics in a detailed way. To begin with, I would like to say that Islam has got his own methodology of thinking. Contrary to other schools of thought, Islam is in favor of truths, wherever they are. Islam agrees with truths whenever they find them and wherever it finds them. It agrees with truths and it accepts the truth. The holy words of the Holy Quran tells us that good people are those who listen to all sorts of theories, who pay attention to all kinds of words, but when it comes to the selection, they select the best of the theories. They select the best of the words. So according to this methodology, we can build Islam's theory of metaethics. We can say that Islam agrees with truths that are found in these schools of thought. And Islam does not agree with false items whenever it comes across. According to this methodology, we can say that Islam's theory of metaethics has certain qualities and certain characteristics. We are going to dwell on these characteristics. We are going to explain these qualities. The first quality of Islam's theory of metaethics is that Islam emphasizes on consistency. And despite emphasizing on consistency, you should keep in mind that Islam is not a follower of prescriptivism. Prescriptivism also capitalizes on consistency. It gives importance to consistency. Islam also gives importance to consistency, but it does not mean that Islam in prescriptionism or Islam in descriptivism are the same. No, they are poles apart from each other. Because prescriptivism says that consistency is each and everything, But Islam does not agree with this idea. Islam says that consistency is only one of the items that we must rely on. But it is not everything. There are other things which we must take into account. We cannot exclusively look at this item. But anyhow, Islam is very much concerned about consistency. As I mentioned before, if you give a look at Islamic texts, you will find out how much Islam is concerned about consistency. As a matter of fact, when Islam lays emphasis on practice, in one way or the other, it lays emphasis on consistency. Time and again, Islam says, pay attention to practice. Give heed to practice. Do not limit yourself to theory. Go beyond theory. Go to the world of practice. Try to get engaged in practice. There are many verses in the Holy Quran that tell us that God gives reward to those who believe in God, in those who do good deeds. You see, there is a link, there is a mutual relation between faith on the one hand and practice on the other. A good Muslim is a person who acts in accordance with what he believes. And there is no gap between his words and his practices. Secondly, as I mentioned before, Islam emphasizes on other items, such as justice. And by looking at this factor, we can come to know that Islam is very much concerned about consistency. Because if you are a just person, you will be knowingly or unknowingly observing the principle of consistency. Because justice obliges you to do to others in a manner, in a way that you like to be done to you. Justice requires you to treat others in a manner which you like to be treated. Justice does not favor double standards. Justice requires similar standards for similar situation. And thirdly, Islam emphasizes on the harmony between words and actions. Islam does not emphasize on action alone. Islam tells us that there should be harmony between your words and practices. And I recited many verses in previous sessions telling that it is very important to create harmony between your words and your practices. If there is no harmony between your words and your practices, you will be termed as what Islam calls hypocrite. And hypocrisy is a very bad thing from the viewpoint of Islam. So Islam emphasizes on consistency. So we can say that one of the characteristics of Islamic theory of metaethics is that it is very much emphatic about the observation of the principle of consistency. The second quality of Islamic metaethics is that it gives importance to moral intuitions. It gives importance to innate ideas. how can you come to know that Islam gives importance to moral intuitions? If you give a look at the vast range of Islamic rulings, if you give a look at the countless Islamic rulings, you will come to understand that Islam is of the view that intuition is important, but in addition to that, it is God who decides. For example, look at the goodness and badness. According to intuitionism, it is human intellect that says what is good and what is bad. Islam also agrees with this. Islam tells us that, yes, it is your intellect guides you throughout your life. And it is based on your intellect that you accept a religion. Without relying on intellect and intellection, you cannot adhere to any religion. You cannot embrace any divine faith. You embrace a divine faith after making a research, after making an intellectual analysis. So it is your intellect that helps you in this connection. It is your intellect that tells you that God exists. It is your intellect that tells you that God must be just. It is your intellect that tells you that such a God must send prophets in order to guide humanity. So Islam says that yes, moral intuitions are good, but moral intuitions are not everything, because moral intuitions are not sufficient. Moral intuitions are not enough. You cannot put your eggs in the basket of moral intuitions. You cannot put all your eggs in the basket of moral intuitions. Yes, moral intuitions are good, but they are not everything. There are many things. There are countless items, the goodness or badness of which cannot be understood through your intellect. Intellect cannot tell us whether or not taking interest is good. Reason cannot tell us whether or not fornication is good. It might encourage you to take interest. It might tell you to do what Islam forbids you to do. But in such places, we are in need of revelation. And it is revelation that can come to our help and that can assist us in such areas. So Islam is very much concerned about moral intuitions. But Islam is of the view that moral intuitions are not each and everything. In addition to moral intuitions, we are in need of revelation. And revelation must come to our help. Otherwise, we will not be able to move forward. So we can say that there should be a combination of moral intuition in the divine common theory. On the one hand, we must give importance to divine common theory. On the other hand, we must give importance to moral intuition. If we mix up these two theories, out will come a thing that is liked by Islam and that is supported by Islam. On the one hand, Islam gives importance to the divine common theory, because there are many things which Islam tells us. If our intellect and can understand each and everything, then we are not in need of revelation. According to the divine common theory, everything must be said by God. Everything must be decided by God. But Islam is of the view that everything is not decided by God. For example, we must believe in the existence of God. We must believe in the attributes of God. We must believe in the existence of the hereafter. All these beliefs come without relying on revelation. So there are things which are not in need of revelation, and there are things which are in need of revelation, and we should understand that both are important. Relying on divine words is important, and relying on human intellect is also important. We must give importance to both these items. The third quality of Islamic theory of metaethics is that Islam is very much concerned about rationality. Islam advises us to observe rationality in any way possible. You cannot ignore rationality. When you observe rationality, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to protect your interests. You are supposed to keep your interest into account. This is what you are required to do when you are a rational person. A rational person is mindful of his or her interests. A rational person cannot ignore his or her interests. So let's see, is Islam concerned about rationality and about human beings' interests? Yes, of course. When Islam tells you to act upon the teachings of Islam, it is because of the protections of your interests. When Islam tells you to develop faith in the hereafter, it is because of you, and it is in your interest to do so. When God asks you to believe in Allah, the Almighty, it is because of your interest. God wants you to live an everlasting life. God wants you to be happy. Your happiness will be maintained when you believe in God. Your prosperity will be maintained when you believe in God. All these things can be achieved via believing in God. If you minus believing in God, if you minus believing in the hereafter, and if you omit believing in the divine attributes, then of course you will lose each and everything of this kind of items. So rationality tells us to believe in God and to believe in his attributes. So Islamic theory of metaethics tells us to be very much concerned about rationality and to take the factor of rationality into account while making any decision. But of course, we have different types of interests. When you are mindful of your interests, try to understand the different kinds of interests. Some of your interests are short-term interests, and some are long-term interests. Some interests are good for this world, and some of these interests are good for a perpetual life. If you are interested in leading a perpetual life, if you are interested in reaching a happy life, then you must be thoughtful of the long-term interests. But of course, if you are like a materialist, if you are limiting yourself like a materialist to the interest of this world and to the boundaries of this world, then of course you cannot take the hereafter into account, and you cannot be interested in the long-term interests. Islam is concerned about your long-term interests. In Islam, tries to protect your long-term interests. It can be protected and it can be taken into account by believing in Islam and by acting on the teachings of Islam. So this is another factor that is very much important in meta theory of ethics. Another factor or another quality that is very much important is ikhlas or you can say sincerity. Islamic ethics is very much concerned about sincerity. You cannot be a well-behaved person, you cannot be a good person unless you exercise sincerity. Sincerity is a must from the viewpoint of Islam. There are many narrations and there are many verses that tell us that this quality is very much important. You cannot ignore this quality. There is a narration that tells us, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Good deeds can be the product of good intention. You cannot do good deeds, and your good deeds will not be accepted unless it is or they are originated in good intention. If your good deeds are based on good intentions, on good motivations, then your good deeds will be accepted. But if they are not based on good intentions, then of course your deeds will not be accepted. And there is also a verse in the Holy Quran that tells the same thing to us. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. The writer of Majmu'ul Bayan, a very important interpretation of the Holy Quran, tells us a story in this connection. He says that in the advent of Islam, there was a person who used to do good deeds, and he was always doing good deeds. Once when he did his good deeds, he visited the Holy Prophet and asked him, O Prophet of God, I have done good deeds, and I have done my deeds for the sake of God the Almighty. But of course, when I do good deeds, people begin to admire me. People begin to applaud me. And it gives me pleasure when I see people praising me and applauding me. Is it good or bad? The Holy Prophet did not utter any word. He remained silent, or till a verse was revealed to him. The verse says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. He who hopes or he who expects to meet his Lord, he must do good deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. He must not associate anyone in the service of God. He must not consider anyone as partner for God while worshiping God. You see that here shirk, or you can say association with God, has got a particular meaning. It can be the meaning of polytheism can be extended to various kinds of things. Polytheism does not take place only when you worship an idol. Of course, if a person worships idol, he exercises polytheism or shirk. But when a person does a good thing, but not because of God, but because of lust or because of public or because of anything else, again, he is a mushrik, he is a polytheist, he is a pagan. To avoid such kind of things, one must try to make himself a devoted person. He must devote his time, his energy to God, and he must do things for the sake of God. Thank you very much, and that is enough for this session.